Today I am reading from Luke chapter 6, verses 43 to 49. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognised by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks of what the heart is full of. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug deep down and laid the foundation on rock. When flood came, the torrent struck that house, but it would not shake because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete.
Great work, Emma.
Fantastic.
You're hired. Good morning. Welcome to church. It is great to be with you once again. Thank you for joining with us in person or via our live stream. I am just so pumped. Yeah, I feel good. Do you guys feel good today? Man, it has been a fantastic morning. This week, as I was sitting down preparing for this sermon, I just had this overwhelming desire to say thank you. I want to say thank you for those people who share their gifts and talents. I don't know about you, but over the past 2 weeks, we've had a few different people up the front and leading us in different ways, and it's just incredible. I was talking to a friend who's like, oh man, I just wish I had someone else in my church who could preach so I could take a week off. And I'm like, man, we've got them coming out of everywhere, don't we? So we're incredibly lucky like that. But it went further than that. I wanted to say thank you to everyone who serves in our church in some way. And I'm going to say it like this, from the back to the front. Yeah, I want to thank you for those people who do the behind-the-scenes stuff. It could be the technology stuff up the back. Murray lets you know if you're doing the wrong thing, because suddenly... No, just kidding, Murray. Then, didn't you? Of course you did. Maybe it's those who serve in Brook Kids. Like, we don't see them doing what they do, but they're out there serving your children, serving our children in ministry. Maybe it's those who take ministry elsewhere. We heard Richard pray just a moment ago for our SRE teachers. But it's also, I want to thank our small group leaders. I want to thank those who do Brook Kids and teens. I want to thank those who lead us in prayer and read the Bible so well. It is absolutely fantastic. I am just incredibly thankful for the way that we use our gifts to serve our awesome God. So thank you. I want to thank you if you lead us in worship, if you welcome us as we come in, or if you serve morning tea. You are a great gift to not only me, but the church, to one another. So I want to say thank you, and I've written here, we appreciate you. So why not give yourself a pat on the back and a round of applause? Come on. The reason that this was stuck in my mind was a little bit of one of my favorite and most significant, I think, Baptist doctrines. In the Baptist tradition, we have this thing called the priesthood of all believers. It's this idea that believers in Christ all share the same status, that same priestly status. Therefore, there is no special class of people. There's no one particular person who mediates the knowledge, the presence, or the forgiveness of Christ to the rest of the believers. It comes to all believers having the right to read, interpret, and apply the teaching of Scripture to their lives. It means that all of us can be involved. And serving is a great sign of this. So thank you, Brookside, and I pray that we will keep it up. So, over the past few weeks, we've been looking at Luke chapter 6. This section is what scholars refer to the Sermon on the Plain. Did you know it was referred to the Sermon on the Plain? No. They call it that because it shares a lot of similarities with Jesus' other famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. But as Drew pointed out last week, or what stood out for me, wasn't last week? Yeah, no, it was last week when he was leading. Verse 17, Jesus went down with them, that's the disciples, and stood on a level place. That level place was known as a plain. That's why they call it the Sermon on the Plain. Now, chances are it's the exact same sermon that was the Sermon on the Mount. Maybe some people were looking up, so it looked like a mountain. Some people were on the same level, so it looked like a plain. But anyway, this is what scholars call it. We also know that there were a large group of disciples there. And not only that, there were people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, from the coastal regions of Tyre and Sidon. Again, let me point out to you something that we've been talking about since the beginning of the year. Jesus has followers and he has disciples, and there's a difference between them. The Sermon on the Plain and the Sermon on the Mount contain a message about what the kingdom of God looks like. It starts with the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who mourn, who are meek, hunger and thirst for righteousness and are merciful. It's a picture of this upside-down kingdom. It's the opposite of how people lived back then. It was, you know, might equals right. It was about getting over a person. It was about taking them for all that they were worth. But Jesus paints this different picture, a picture of an upside-down kingdom. And it reminds us, I think, that the measures are not what they expected us. The measures of what a successful kingdom is not what we expected them to be. This sermon goes on. And he says that we are to love our enemies and turn the other cheek. Wait a second. The world says I need to get mine back, right? It's an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth type environment. Jesus takes it further, though, when he says not only should you turn the other cheek, but you should treat others the way that you want to be treated. That's a big call. Treating someone the way you want to be treated when they're being mean to you, it's hard work, isn't it? Jesus says and encourages us not to judge in a way that we wouldn't want to be judged ourselves. We're encouraged not to condemn, but to forgive freely. This is a reflection of what Jesus has done for us. That we've been forgiven and restored, and that's what we should be about, forgiving and restoration. And then he uses this brilliant illustration, the blind leading the blind. Have you ever seen a blind person trying to lead a blind person? I've often, when I used to do youth ministry, we used to set up this obstacle course and have the kids put on a blindfold, and then we'll say, right, listen to this person, they're going to guide you through it. And then we blindfold the person guiding them, and then the leaders sneak in and move things around, and then we all laugh at them. The blind leading the blind, you can't see something different. We get caught in that, as I said, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth world. And it can be hard to think differently. And when we focus instead on wealth or living for the moment, it can be hard to see that there is something more to this. To change a thought, something different needs to be seen. It might be a vision of a better tomorrow. It might be of future generations, but if we can see something different and work towards it, then we can change. But the blind leading the blind can't change. And Jesus is getting to this idea that, you know, those cycles that we're going through can just keep happening if we're not changing. And this is a sermon Jesus has been teaching his disciples and these followers how to live. It's a reminder to remove the log from your own eye before attending to the splinter or the speck in your friend's. Jesus takes this and he shows us then if we're doing these things that something is going to happen and we're going to start producing fruit. And actually, I think everyone produces some sort of fruit. And I think there are a few Christians out there who produce not spiritual fruit, but spiritual nuts. That was a joke. Jesus ends this sermon on the plain here in Luke with a teaching about the fruit that they will bear. It's an apple tree producing apples, an orange tree producing orange. It only makes sense if someone is genuinely pursuing Jesus. Then they see good works from their lives. You know what? We started sharing stories of where God is at work. Do you know what stories are going to start coming soon? We're going to start hearing stories of fruit being harvested. Jeremy talked about how the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few last week. That's what he's going on here. Producing good fruit. It focuses less on ourselves and more on others. And Jesus begins with this categorical statement that there can be no room for ambiguity. It's more than if I'm a nice person, or it's more than I don't cause trouble. I think fruit is the result of purposeful action. The fruit is fulfillment of purpose. See, the people at that time would have had no problem recognizing what Jesus was talking about when he started talking about fig trees. Have you seen a fig tree? Do you know what a fig looks like? Have you eaten a fig? See, fig trees were a symbol. They were a symbol of fertility, but also peace and prosperity. And then he talks about grapes. And you know what grapes are a symbol of? Joy. And you can work out why they're a symbol of joy, because there's no prizes there. And he talks about those fruits, peace, prosperity, and joy. They don't come from brambles and thorns. The only things that brambles and thorns are good for is firewood. Each thing has its own purpose and was known for what it produced. And what we produce is a reflection of what we are fed and what we, well, probably not what we're fed, what we feed on would be better. The Sermon on the Plain calls the disciples, those who wish to follow Jesus, to live a life worthy of the manner which they have been called. To live in conformity to the teachings of Jesus. To live in an upside-down kingdom here and now. And that effective compliance can only come from the heart. A heart that has been changed, converted by a gracious God. The reality is that sometimes we can choose to obey and comply with some teachings while leaving out those that truly challenge us, those that Jesus really wants us to address. We see it in the history of Israel a fair amount. They thought all they needed to do to keep God on side was keep giving the right offerings at the right time. But the minor prophets and the other prophets, they talk about it in the sense of, well, actually, there's a little bit more to it than that. There's this idea that if your heart's not really there, if you're not really in, if you're struggling, then it's your actions don't match your offering. It's the internal things that need to be fixed. As I read through the end of this, I'm challenged. What instructions do I avoid that hinder the output of my spiritual fruit? Because each tree is known by its fruit. So what do you produce? What do I produce? Or do I make the choices that I have to choose in life? Do I focus on what I want as an output, as that quality of fruit? Are you pleased with the fruit that you produce? Or have you fallen under this misconception that a superficial conversation will produce plentiful when it doesn't produce much? Maybe a few leaves on the tree. Jesus talks about fruit coming from a tree. What type of spiritual fruit? What type of evidence do you have that Jesus has changed your life? And then Jesus turns on to foundation. During the working bee yesterday, I was told that when we put the extension on, that the foundations of the extension are a metre deep. Is that right, Richard? 1,200, even deeper. And that was so if we ever decided to put a second story on, we have a solid foundation already. I just thought, wow, that's a solid foundation. 1,200, I was under the impression it was a meter, but 1,200 deep. That's a sturdy foundation. Could go over on the other side of the hall and jump around, and I don't think it's going to move very much. You jump around here, and I think things will shake. But I was thinking about the foundation of a tree. On a tree where its roots have spread out wide. The foundation is faith and the testimony of character. These things are driven and an outcome of a desire, not of self, but of others. Jesus says that the foundation of any person should be built on something solid. Not as solid as the stuff in the drains over here, but rock solid. And he says, you know what? Storms are reality of life. They may not be descending on us right now, but it doesn't mean that at some point in our life, we're not going to be hit with something that's going to shake us down to our very foundation. But if our foundation is based on the life and teachings of Jesus, if it's based on an upside-down kingdom, we're not going to be easily shaken, and it'll determine the response that we come out with when it finally does hit. One commentator talked about how people are more concerned with their reputation than they are their character. He goes on to say that your reputation is 10% of who you are. And it's probably the 10% that's most visible. It's a little bit like that old that picture of an iceberg, yeah? You see the little thing on top and underneath is massive. What's crucial is how deep and how solid your roots are, how your foundation is. That's where your character is born. That is where your character is driven from. It constitutes 90% of who you are. So we anchor those foundations in Christ. And Jesus tells us, you know, if we build ours on the rock, we will survive the storms. However, I think this leads to a very confronting moment. See, we might think that we have solid foundations, but Jesus challenges us. Why do you call me Lord, yet do not do what I command? Jesus is calling those followers, those who are coming around, those who are being part of the crowd, to take it further. And that's what we want here, right? We've been going on about it since the beginning of the year. We want disciples. We want more than followers. We want to be more than followers. We want to be disciples, and disciples who help other people become disciples. That's why we serve each other. We don't serve each other for the pats on the back. We don't serve each other because, hey, if I serve you and I know you're doing morning tea, you're going to slide me the extra thick, juicy piece of chocolate cake. No, we serve each other because we have a desire to see each other be greater. So let's ask the question. Two questions, actually. The first question is, what kind of fruit are we producing? Are we doing things that bring glory to God? Are we looking at how we spend our time, use our time, our skills, and our resources? Looking at those who will give us a picture of good-looking fruit. If we look at our fruit, it can be a humbling experience and hopefully a challenge to be more selfless. The second thing is our foundation. What are you putting your hopes and trusts really in? Jesus or something else? Are you someone who finds comfort in the material? If only I could work a few extra hours to have a bigger nest egg. Do you find your security and your identity in your job? Jesus encourages us to build on a solid foundation. Luke is painting that picture that Christ is that solid foundation. See, anything we can build with our two hands is temporary. It can fail us. But Christ is always with us. Christ gives us strength to get through the hardest of times. This week, I challenge you to spend some time in prayer, not just for someone that you can go to and say, hey, will you read the Bible with me? Not someone that you can say, hey, can I pray for you? But to spend some time in prayer, asking the Holy Spirit to open the eyes to the way that we are living. How we live our lives, spend our time, and where we put our effort and energy. Jesus says, a good tree produces good fruits. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for this time and this challenge that your Son has given us. Father, we think of the fruit that we produce. Lord, some of it we may not see on this side of heaven, But Father, we pray that we would continually be aware of what our character is building, where our foundations might lie, and the fruit that we will leave behind. Father, we pray as we go into this week that you might challenge us to see where we put our faith and our hope. Lord, we pray that we might move it to a solid foundation found in you. And we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. All right, well, we're going to have another period of worship. It's a chance to respond. You can come forward. You all look very...